The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord, and he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so am I sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called the twin, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. When the disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," he answered, "Unless I see the holes that the nails made in his hands and can put my finger into the holes they made, and unless I can put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe." 8 days later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were closed, but Jesus came in and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he spoke to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look, here are my hands. Give me your hand. Put it into my side. Doubt no longer, but believe." Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You believe because you can see me? Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe." There were many other signs that Jesus worked, and the disciples saw, but they're not recorded in this book. These are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing this, you may have life through his name. The Gospel of the Lord. In the room where they were, the doors were closed, locked for fear. Fear of the temple guards, fear of the Roman soldiers. Human prudence has never changed, and it might say, as it did then, that there was every reason for fear, because wherever tyrants taste blood, arrests rarely stop at one. We just need to think at the moment of the Ukraine. But there's many other places equally so. So, in our world, many people in fear. Fear maybe in Syria, in the Holy Land, in other parts of Africa, in the Middle East, as I say, in the Ukraine. Many places, people in fear. We are free, in a sense, to gather, to worship. Many Christians face active persecution, different persecutions, as they gather to worship the Lord. And the closed doors vividly express, in a sense, a mental condition of the disciples and many people, fear locked in. As a group of disciples, of course, they were without leadership at one level, purpose or direction in their lives. And as individuals, each one of them cowering in a sort of private little hell of lostness, guilt, sadness, fear, anxiety. Think that first Easter night, it's only that 3 days since the death of the Lord, and the message of the empty tomb had not quite registered yet with them. So all those emotions there. It's good in a way that we can reflect on that, because that can be many people, many Christians, many ordinary people around the world in that fear. And then the risen Lord comes and stands among them. "Peace be with you." When you've betrayed someone, when maybe you've had a row with someone, when you can't get on with someone, the last person, maybe when you've had the blazing row, is to see that person. Peter denied. They'd all forsook him and fled. no one had stood by him. And yet, the last person we expect and want to meet instantly is the risen Lord. And yet, he comes and stands among them. And the first words, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Very much part of our Mass. There are always those, I know some, that don't like the exchange of peace, the shaking of hands. But the peace be with you is an important part of our Mass, always. And when the bishop comes next week, this Mass, for the confirmation, his words, the bishop's greeting, isn't the Lord be with you, it's peace be with you. Because as the apostle, one of the apostles in successor of the apostles, he brings that greeting that the Lord came and gave them. So the Lord comes, peace be with you, and brings them in its sense. It says, then they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. He invited them to come out of their caves of darkness and to discover new life and a new breath. And so he breathes on them the divine life. Now, what we know is that when we breathe our last, it is our last. So breathing is much part of life, life-giving. And when our breath's gone, then so have we. So they remembered that Genesis creation of Adam, and God breathed into him the breath of life. The Ezekiel vision of the dry valley, dem bones, and the breath of God going into them. The risen Lord breathing them into the divine life. The interesting thing is that when the chrism is consecrated by the bishop, the bishop's instructed to breathe three times, as it were, on the chrism, breathing into it, as it were, the breath of life, the divine life. And that then brings us into that divine life, because we have been consecrated in our baptism, in confirmation, which is what the bishop's coming here to do next Sunday, but also we've been there anointed with that chrism, the breath breathed into us, sharing the divine mission of Jesus, because having breathed into them, he told them forgiveness and then carry on his work. A tale's told of a Jewish rabbi that asked his servant every morning to see if the Messiah had come. And the servant went to the window every day and observed the people up and down the street, and he came back and no sign of the Messiah coming from the way people were living their lives. But then he spoke about, there was one preacher who had come from the kingdom sent by the Father, but that was all. But of course, that Jesus, then that one, became more as the early church was born. And the risen Lord sent out the disciples in the power of that Spirit. And that Spirit then inspired the four gospel writers, the four evangelists, to write down the church's memory of Jesus. In a sense, the four gospels, the four compass points, as it were, around the world, to convince the people the Messiah had come. But that wasn't enough. The fifth gospel is needed. Not Della, that takes us to the Holy Land, talks about the fifth gospel, which is the Holy Land, but actually the people whose lives reflect that gospel. And was this why Thomas needed some time? Because the people that the ten, Judas had gone, Thomas wasn't there, The ten that were first there on the Easter night when they saw the Lord were filled with joy and told Thomas about it. But he refused to believe unless I can see. And we know there are many like that around us today too. Was he waiting to observe the behavior of those who said, we've seen the Lord, we know the Lord, we know the Lord is with us? Seeing how their behavior, as it were, went on in those days. It was Pope, not being canonized today, Paul VI, who in his letter on evangelization stressed the point that the first means of evangelization is the witness of an authentic Christian life. And he wrote, "Modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. And if he does listen to teachers, it is because they are witnesses. The number of witnesses and the number of believers increased rapidly in the early Christian community. Today, they're always, but no, throughout history, always has been, quick to point out those of us that don't necessarily live up to that Christian faith. But that's why Jesus knew and said, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Because actually all of us can fall into that category at one time or another. Because we all can sin. But we all know, too, on this Sunday, divine mercy, the mercy of God who forgives us. And that's part of this whole sort of Easter mystery, that forgiveness. And it's because we can be forgiven, we can rise with new life and live more authentically the Christian life. Because that's what it said, our first reading, they were faithful to the teaching of the apostles, to the brotherhood, to the breaking of bread, to the prayers. That's what we do. We're faithful, we hear. We share community together. We hear the teaching of the apostles through the readings and the gospel. Break the bread, and we pray. And that's gone on for over 2,000 years since the Lord himself gave that to us. And that's why what we do actually is what he wants. Not what anybody's made up or thinks, oh, wouldn't it be nice to do this? It's not. It's actually doing what the Lord said. And that's why I say peace with you is part of what we do, but the other things come into it. And down the years, countless, not just the saints, because there's all the myriads of faithful people, of course, but the saints always stand out, and that's why today two more, John the 23rd, John Paul the 2nd, but Francis and Dominic and Claire and St. Therese, the myriad of saints that we pray in the Litany of Saints, but us too, all of us called to be faithful apostles, those sent out. That's why at the end of Mass you're sent out, go and announce the gospel of the Lord or some such words. Easter is only a lifeless fossil if it doesn't send you out from the dead way of life that knows no love, no joy, no peace, no mercy, no compassion, no forgiveness, no hope or trust. But if we do go out with that love and that joy and that peace and that mercy and compassion and forgiveness and hope and trust and many other things as well, we're living the authentic Christian life. That risen Lord who says, peace be with you, as he feeds us with himself to send us to tell the good news.